In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, Amen. Question 460. What is meant by the unity of the sacrament of matrimony? By the unity of the sacrament of matrimony is meant that the husband cannot, during the life of his wife, have another wife, nor the wife, during the life of her husband, have another husband. This is expressed, of course, in the vows of matrimony, when they say, until death do us part. And it has to do with the marital covenant itself, that marriage is both a contract and a covenant. It's a covenant in the sense that in the treaties of the ancient world, sometimes called suzerain treaties, that began with the names of the kings, then the terms of the treaty, and then putting your mouth where your money was by cutting a bull in half. That is, the two kings, say, would decide on a particular treaty to make some peace between their two countries or cities. And they would set the terms. Then after setting the terms, they would make a promise. And it was solemn. It was witnessed public. Then they would cut a bull in half and walk between the halves of the bull, sort of putting their money where their mouth was. That is, saying, if I ever break this promise, then may what happened to the bull happen to me. And we should say, of course, that Moses, when a treaty, if you will, was made between God and the Hebrews, the terms were set, namely the Ten Commandments, promises made at the mount of foot of Mount Sinai, and then a bull slaughtered in a sacrifice, and the blood sprinkled over the heads of the Israelites, meaning, and once that was done, there can be no turning back. That is, going back to those ancient kings, if one of them died, then the treaty would be over, and it would be possible, of course, for the son of one of the kings to renew the covenant, but the covenant was over only with the death of one of the kings. It's one reason why the covenant between God and the Hebrews was never destroyed, because God can never die, and he promised that the Hebrews would exist until the end of time. And with matrimony, it's simple. They're similar. That is, there are terms which are set, there's a solemn promise made, and then there is, on the first marital act, called nuptial consummation, once that's done, then the only thing that can break it is death, if it is a true marriage. Question 461. Why is every true marriage between a baptized man and a baptized woman a sacrament? It's a sacrament because Christ himself raised every marriage to this kind, of this kind, to the dignity of a sacrament. In order to love each other the way that Christ loves us, husband and wife need special graces. A Christian marriage demands far more love and ability to make sacrifices than does a pagan marriage. And that is why Christ made it a sacrament. And we teach that this holds even between two Protestants. It may sound a bit odd at this point, but there is only one baptism. So if someone is baptized, then he is baptized into the Catholic Church, because there's only one church. But non-Catholics, say Protestants, are not held to the form of Catholic marriage. Sort of think of them as being, if you will, automatically dispensed. And this holds even for annulments. If two non-Catholics get married and are divorced, well, we still consider that marriage valid until it is proven otherwise. We're now at question 462. Why has the Catholic Church alone the right to make laws regulating the marriages of baptized persons? The Catholic Church alone has the right to make laws regulating the marriages of baptized persons because the Church alone has authority over the sacraments and over sacred matters affecting baptized persons. And so this is a consequence of there being only one church. Question 463. What authority has the state regarding the marriage of baptized persons? It has the authority to make laws concerning their effects that are merely civil. So merely civil laws, they don't bother us in themselves, such as having to get a marriage license. The state is interested in marriage insofar as it produces children or more citizens. It has no compelling interest for a union which does not produce citizens, unless such a union were a threat or danger to the state, such as a source of disease, which is possible. So we recognize the authority of the state in some areas, but not the authority of the state over a sacrament. Question 464. What is necessary to receive the sacrament of matrimony worthily? It's what's necessary is to be in a state of grace, to know the duties of married life, and to obey the marriage laws of the church. So one could go through the ceremony, the preparation, even have children. But if he were not in a state of grace, he would not receive the grace of the sacrament. In fact, he would commit a sacrilege, doing great harm to his soul, even though the marriage was valid.